Enjoying the Wealth Management Invest podcast? Don't miss The Weighing Machine by Orion Portfolio Solutions. Dive into market insights with Rusty Vanneman, CIO, Wealth Management, leveraging his 30-plus years of experience to guide investors towards their long-term goals. Every episode offers deep dives into investment strategies, enriching your financial journey. For a richer understanding and strategic investor insights, make The Weighing Machine your next listen. Expand your investment horizon with Rusty today. Orion Portfolio Solutions, LLC, and Orion Company is a registered investment advisor. Hello, and welcome to the Wealth Management Invest podcast. I'm your host, David Bodimer, with the editorial team at wealthmanagement.com. For this episode, I'm very excited to have Lawrence Calcano, who is the chairman and CEO of iCapital. So we're going to really get a good sense of what's happening in the alt space and catch up on some of the developments that iCapital's had in recent months. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
So I like to start big picture. You guys are obviously one of the preeminent places to get a feel for what's happening with this trend and alternatives. Where do you think we're at? Are we in an educational phase? Are we in early adoption? Like, where are we in this process of alternatives becoming a more common part of portfolios?
Sure. So I think it's a little bit of a continuum, but I think overall, if you look at the industry, I think we're still very much in the early days. Having said that, there have been a number of advisors that have embraced the asset class, you know, for years, and certainly family offices and organizations like that have been very aggressively investing in alts. But broadly, throughout the advisor population, you know, as I said, I think we're very much in the early days. And I think, you know, as a consequence of that, really the educational component of, you know, of what we do certainly and what the industry needs to do is massively important. And I think will be for years. There's a large number of advisors that are really interested in how the asset class can help their clients achieve their goals and their portfolios. And they might be educated at a high level. They might be educated or having some experience with private equity, but there are private credit opportunities or private infrastructure opportunities or hedge fund opportunities, structured notes, annuities. There's a lot in this space. And so I think the educational journey, if you will, is absolutely early days as more and more advisors, you know, embrace the asset class. But the last point I'd make on this is that I would say, you know, you still have a concentration issue where, you know, maybe 20% of the advisors are driving something like 80% of the volume. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, to your question, really sort of speaks to the fact that there's a lot more room to run, both in terms of, you know, the advisors doing the business, growing their allocations, but also increasing the participation rate and having more advisors enter the marketplace.
And, you know, a couple of years ago, the performance of the traditional 60-40 portfolio seemed to kind of be a bit of a catalyst for taking a real hard look at whether that's the right mix and whether alternatives do have a place and maybe and what the real allocation strategy should be. You know, where do you think that conversation is right now?
Well, I think, you know, right now there's, you know, a multiple, you know, there's multiple reasons why people really think about this asset class. I think on one hand, people are very focused on, you know, finding ways to increase the overall returns to the portfolio. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, and I think this speaks to your point earlier, you know, within a 60-40 portfolio, I think people in the last, you know, year or so had a lot of correlation in the portfolio, and they saw, you know, overall, you know, some really tough outcomes in their portfolios. And I think alts can play a diversifying role in the portfolio. Obviously, every portfolio is different. You know, and what's diversifying to your portfolio may not be to mine. But I think the combination of, you know, creating a more durable and diverse portfolio coupled with the desire to increase or push out, if you will, the efficient frontier in terms of the return possibilities, I think those are reasons that are really driving investors to think hard about, you know, whether this asset class is appropriate for their clients.
Another thing that I feel like I've been hearing a lot about recently is just some innovation in the wrappers and bringing these different asset types that you've talked about to advisors and investors in a way that's maybe a little bit more palatable, that has easier reporting, has lower minimums, doesn't have capital calls, and a real, it seems like a real proliferation in fund launches in some of these like interval funds, BDCs, non-traded REITs, tender offer funds. Is where do you see that kind of piece of things in terms of like the broader scope of what you're talking about?
I think, you know, the market is really evolving, you know, and I think this is all good in terms of people, you know, really thinking about broadly their client base. You know, initially, the first wave of investments into the asset class were with products that were really targeted towards qualified purchasers, QPs. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And those products tended to be 3C7 funds, often, you know, offered through feeders. Right. And that gave those individuals a chance to participate. And I think it really opened the opportunity for the asset class to a lot of people, because, you know, a lot of these funds have minimums of $5, $10, $15, $20 million, which is really out of the reach for a lot of even wealthy people to commit that much money to one fund. And so changes and evolution of the market, like feeders, for example, we brought to the market where the minimums were $100,000, you know, really opened the opportunity for people to really embrace the asset class. And I think the other piece of that is just making sure you had access to the right managers. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, in this asset class, you know, the interquartile spreads are very large. You know, the difference between the first quartile performance and the fourth quartile performance in a private equity fund might be 1,000 basis points. So, you know, manager selection and diligence is really critical to getting, you know, the returns that might be available in the asset class. And so those were really the early products that were offered. But advisors kind of step back and they say, look, there are benefits, you know, that we talked about in the last question, but I want to make those benefits available to all of my clients, not just my wealthiest or not just my qualified purchaser clients, but my accredited investors and maybe my sub-accredited as well. And so a lot of the wrappers that you're seeing are meant to broaden the asset class and to deliver these products through structures that are appropriate and permissible for accredited investors to be able to invest in them. And I think that's really going to continue to be a very big trend. I know on our platform, for example, I would say probably, you know, 60 to 70% of the funds that are available are actually, you know, in some of the wrapper types you talked about, therefore making those products available for, you know, really all of or most of the advisors that we serve as clients. And I think that's just really important. And I think you're going to continue to see people iterate on structures and how they combine managers. You know, we're working on things like, you know, if you will, creating prepackaged products or model portfolios, mm-hmm, SMAs, mm-hmm, things like that. And I think really stepping back, this might tie several of the questions together. You know, as we think about the evolution of this market, you know, we're getting to this place, as I said earlier, where more and more advisors are really investigating and embracing the asset class. But some of those advisors, you know, they have a way they like to work. And what we want to do is meet them where they are and how they operate, right? Mm-hmm. And that means, you know, giving them the set of tools that they're used to working, integrating into tools they're used to working with, things like partnering with Morningstar or InvestNet, which we've announced, so that, you know, people, for example, who use the Morningstar workstation or the portfolio proposal tool can now actually continue to use those same tools, but now include alts in those portfolios they're proposing to the clients. And so I think it's really critical and certainly key to our strategy to meet the advisors where they are and to give them the set of capabilities that allow them to operate in a clear, educated, thoughtful way so they can best serve their clients.
Yeah, so that dovetails nicely to getting understanding of what some of the moves that you've made recently. So like you referenced Morningstar, there was also the Mirador deal. So all of these things feel like are important for not having alts be off on the side as like this thing that you have to look somewhere else for, but being in the same kind of the same sort of portal or the same interface where the other investments might be. So it seems like this what you guys are doing is an important step in terms of moving along the curve. But can, if you want to talk a bit about any of these recent announcements and how, you know, what they mean for iCapital, what they mean for advisors using your platforms.
Sure. So maybe I'll hit on two things, which I think really speak to what you're sort of probing on. The first will be Architect, mm-hmm. which is a tool we announced. It was in beta really for 6 months last year. We announced it in production at the very beginning of this year. And what Architect is trying to help advisors with is actually really understanding how a specific product or set of alternative products fit into actual portfolios, right? So we talked about education in a prior question,
right.
Obviously still very, very important. This to me is like the next generation or an evolution of education where you go from learning about products and how they work, how they function, how they report, et cetera, to understanding how do the products actually fit into client portfolios. And Architect is, I think, a terrific tool to help advisors understand if we add these products into, you know, your portfolio client, what will happen to either the factors we're tracking in the portfolio or the goals and objectives of the portfolio? Are we creating better alignment with our goals with these products, or are we moving further away from our goals? And so we think the Architect tool is incredibly important. We have a lot of advisors now who are embracing it. It's an important part of our collaboration and partnership with Morningstar in terms of both the portfolio proposal tool I talked about, but also creating risk scoring where we are partnering with Morningstar to create risk scores for portfolios that include alts. And this is all part of, as I said earlier, meeting advisors where they are and giving them a set of tools that will allow them to operate with their clients the way they want to and are used to operating. So Architect, we think, is a very exciting development. And I think it's probably the first publicly available tool that incorporates alts into, you know, actual portfolios. The second important thing that I'll mention is the acquisition we announced a few days ago this week of Mirador. And so as we've built out what we refer to as the technology operating system for the alternatives industry, it's critical to build out all the functionality, you know, for sort of pre-investment activities, investment activities, and post-investment activities for mm-hmm. all the products we talked about, private equity, private credit, real estate, infrastructure, hedge funds, structured notes, annuities, et cetera, the whole life cycle in an automated way. And that's been what iCapital's been focused on delivering to the market for over a decade. But what also happens as people allocate to alts is, you know, part of their portfolio reporting comes into different places right. than where they might actually be, you know, sharing the reporting with their clients. And what Mirador has done an incredible job of is actually going out, gathering that data. Maybe that data is in an iCapital system and they needed to get it to Addepar, or they needed to get it to Tamarack or Black Diamond. And they'll bring that data, and it's both a technical and human activity where they make sure that the data appears in the financial reporting statements that the advisor is using, and the data shows up where the advisor wants it. They have been an excellent partner to the advisor community. They work with independent RIAs, they work with IBDs, wirehouses, family offices. And their white glove service has been incredibly valuable to the clients. And, you know, the references we got as we were doing our diligence were incredible. And so as we think about that capability and we apply it to other areas that are very germane in this industry, you know, I think about some of the relationships we have with RIAs where, you know, they've got significant legacy investments that mm-hmm. they'd like to have unified on one platform, Mirador can help bring all that information together, you know, in that one place, whether it's, again, a reporting package, a custodial report, wherever the advisor wants it, we could bring that together. Advisors, you know, the growth rate in the independent community has obviously been profound. And there are a large and growing number of very large RIAs who've grown both organically, but also through acquisition. And when you grow through acquisition, you know, you end up inheriting, obviously, you know, all of the prior investments that those advisors have made. And so you need to unify and bring all that together. So here again, Mirador can play a really important role in the data aggregation, you know, for the clients to make sure all the information that their advisors have relative to client investments is in one place. And so for us, it's about unifying both the technical experience end to end. So Architect's an example of the pre-investment technology. So unifying the technical end to end experience with the data aggregation and data management end to end experience. And we're super excited. And we think bringing these things together provides an incredible solution, you know, to the marketplace. And it allows us to integrate even further into some of the great reporting companies like Annapar, you know, in the industry that are so important to clients and advisors.
And were any of these moves driven by hearing from advisors that these were specifically pain points that they were having that you felt like, okay, this is something that I'm hearing that this and that we can solve by doing Y? And jumping off that, are there other pain points in the industry around alts that that need to be addressed?
So everything we do is about helping our clients achieve their goals. We're now, you know, with the Mirador acquisition, over 1,400 people. And if you ask an iCapital employee, what are the two things that you hear from Lawrence on every day, every week, you'd hear that everything we do is about helping our clients be successful. And everything we do as a team, because this is what we're providing is complicated, and we need to work collaboratively as a team to deliver our best to the clients. And so that is absolutely essential. And so when we think about what do we need to add to our business, it's always a function of where we see and what we talk to our clients about, where they need help in succeeding, you know, with this asset class and their clients. And so absolutely, you know, the inspiration for this was client-based. And that will continue to drive everything we do. One of the other areas, to answer the second part of your question, where we are incredibly focused and we'll be launching a fund, you know, this year on is, you know, utilizing distributed ledger to help, if you will, further create efficiencies and simplify the end-to-end life cycle process of making these types of investments. We're not talking about digital currencies here. We're not talking about crypto. What we're talking about is using components of that infrastructure, specifically distributed ledger, to create efficiencies for all of the constituents in the value chain to have a better outcome. And unlike some firms that might be focusing on really just a subscription piece, our implementation of DLT will be for all of the pre-trade, trade, and all of the life cycle activities. And as you know, with things like private equity, you know, or hedge funds and credit, you've got capital calls, distributions, redemptions, transfers, et cetera. So there's a large number of kind of post-investment activities that we're going to be running, and we'll be launching our first sort of distributed ledger based fund in the next month or so. And we think that is another piece of driving the industry adoption with these products, because we're simplifying, taking costs out of the infrastructure, all of which will inure to the benefit of the advisor and their clients in terms of hopefully higher net returns.
Do you see any major misconceptions that advisors still have about that may be preventing them from using alts or considering these kind of investments?
So I think whenever there's sort of a need for ongoing education, there's certainly could be, you know, understanding gaps, whether they're misconceptions or not, I'm not sure, but we want to fill in all the, if any, educational gaps that might exist with any advisor considering these assets. And so I do think one of the important issues that I actually think is generally well understood is the relatively less liquid nature of private investments. And that's a very important consideration. Clients obviously, you know, have to plan, you know, their investments with an important focus on what their liquidity needs are in their lives. And so understanding the relatively illiquid nature of these products is very important to advisors. And I also think from our perspective, that also suggests, you know, what are the ways, if any, that we can help enhance or increase liquidity in these products, whether those solutions are market-based, and obviously a number of these are private placements. So there's inherent limits on the liquidity in a private placement instrument, but whether those are market-based or credit-based, we're working actively on trying to find ways to help advisors manage the liquidity elements of these products relative to the rest of their portfolio. But I do think for a lot of folks, you know, it's important to understand the illiquidity, but I think for a lot of people, they can manage that. And I think accepting some amount of illiquidity in your portfolio is probably appropriate for the benefits that you get. And I think really, you know, private equity is inherently illiquid because of the nature of what happens in private equity, right?
Right.
You know, when people go out and they make investments, the private equity firm or manager is looking at opportunities to make changes. This is the ultimate in active management, you know, an active management asset class. And they might be, you know, selling divisions, buying divisions, you know, launching new products, creating new technology, changing management, adding geographies. There's a lot of active management that goes on, and it's in that period of that active management where you get these sort of illiquid periods where the best managers are creating a lot of value. In fact, as I think about our diligence cycle and the things we focus on most, you know, when we look at managers, we're focused on what happens to their portfolio companies after they make investments. Are these companies that, you know, improve their revenue growth, their profitability, et cetera? We're looking at the underlying operational improvements of a portfolio company during that hold period. And we use that as a basis to think about what value a private equity manager or a growth manager is adding to their portfolio companies. And that's an important barometer of quality management in our view. And so, you know, a lot to unpack around this, but to sort of sum up the question, you know, we think it gets back again to education, right? You know, when you talk about misconceptions, it's about how do you make sure that advisors really understand these assets, how they work, and how they can really help clients achieve their goals in their portfolio.
Right. And like similarly, like with the real estate, if you're getting into a development deal or a repositioning, there's going to be a longer timeline, and they need time to execute the strategy. So that's why the lack of liquidity is important in that kind of a deal, like as opposed to investing in a REIT where you might be getting into a stabilized property that's got cash flow right now. There are reasons for the illiquidity in a lot of these
100% areas. You know, and you know, in real estate, there are many different types of real estate investments you can make that have different illiquidity or liquidity characteristics, right? So what you described, you know, is exactly right. It's a longer lived investment because the changes that the real estate manager is planning are more substantial and take time, right? Versus, you know, I'm buying a real estate building, you know, an apartment building or commercial building that's already generating rent and it's already generating cash flow. So, you know, here again, the education of the different types of strategies and the associated periods of illiquidity attached to those strategies is critical for an advisor to understand before, you know, suggesting to clients.
Yeah, I guess that's why I can get a bit head spinning, because it's like, even when you talk about, you know, private equity, there's all sorts of flavors of that, or real estate, there's all sorts of flavors. There's, and then there's a couple of different kinds of wrappers. So it's like you both have to understand the different kinds of strategies that are within these bigger asset buckets. And then
yeah,
really trying to aligning what your client might be best for the client as well. Like, you know,
it's got to be all right. Obviously all about what's right for the client, because, you know, each of us have different goals, objectives, and tolerances for illiquidity and risk, right? Because that's a very big component to this. But what you're describing is really greatly informed how we thought about building our platform, because of all the differences in terms of the types of products. We believed and continue to believe that it's important to provide great choice in the alternative asset class. It's why we've added all the products we added. You know, the first product we launched back in 2014 was a qualified purchaser focused 3C7 PE feeder fund. And we've since added credit and all the different flavors of credit, different flavors, even within equity, right? You have buyout, growth, you know, venture, just to name a few. You've got different strategies in real estate and infrastructure, all the hedge fund strategies, structured notes, annuities. All of these investments, you know, we think can play a role, not necessarily all of them for everybody, obviously, but, you know, we want to make sure that the advisors we serve have lots of choices to construct the right portfolio for each client.
Yeah, there's a lot to, well, I mean, you know, you guys have a whole giant business around this, and that's why.
You know, it's all, as I said earlier, you know, it has to be the case that, you know, what's driving you is just how you help your advisors, your clients achieve their goals, right? And, you know, another important client base of ours are the GPs themselves, who, you know, historically, you know, really offered their products to institutions, but the wealth market's massive. And BCG did a study a year ago that said the wealth owned by individuals is $125 or $30 trillion, and continuing to grow. And so, you know, for general partners of all the different strategies we've been discussing, you know, they need to have appropriate access to that. But it's a very different market than the one they've served forever.
Right.
You know, you go from, in the institutional context, you go from, you know, having a small number of investors make really large commitments, right? In our market, it's completely opposite. You have a very large number of investors making smaller commitments. And the infrastructure requirements to serve that population is totally different than the infrastructure that many of these GPs have built to serve their institutional clients. So we're also playing a really important role helping the asset managers manage this asset class and reach this asset class effectively. And here again, this is why, you know, from the very start, you know, we believe that to be successful in serving this ecosystem, you need to have great product expertise, diligence, educational capabilities, sourcing capabilities, structuring capabilities, and you also needed technical capabilities to manage the life cycle of these investments end to end. And that's, if you will, the fin and the tech nature of our business. But both are important in delivering, you know, the solutions we deliver to the industry.
Yeah, it does seem very notable when you look at the landscape and see a number of these brand names that you associate with working with, you know, institutions and that, you know, trying to either create a new brand or just education and really get wealth, you know, in front of this audience, both, you know, like with the way they're doing on their websites and through like the iCap, you know, like iCapital. So, I mean, I've taken a good chunk of your time here, so I want to thank you for that. I just also wanted to give you an opportunity for any kind of final thoughts or anything that I didn't ask you that you think would be good to leave the audience with.
Look, first of all, David, thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it, and appreciate the opportunity to spend more time with you as well. And look, I think I've said a lot of it. I just, we are so excited to serve this industry. Like, we just feel like, you know, there's a massive opportunity that, you know, our advisor partners have, our GP partners have, and all of the underlying clients have to thoughtfully and where appropriate invest in these assets. And we're just excited about, you know, what we're doing to try to help people achieve their goals and objectives. And we show up at work every day, you know, motivated as ever. And as I like to tell our team, you know, the most important thing is staying humble and staying hungry. And if that's your attitude about, you know, your job and your peers and your clients, you're going to be successful. So we try to keep our nose to the grindstone and focus on being humble and hungry.
Great. Well, I thank you so much for your time, and I look forward to, you know, continuing to follow the developments with iCapital.
Thanks so much, David.
Well, David, thank you for listening today, and thank you for joining us. Please like, follow, and share this podcast with your friends. Until next time, I'm Wendy McConnell.
Enjoying the Wealth Management Invest podcast? Don't miss The Weighing Machine by Orion Portfolio Solutions. Dive into market insights with Rusty Vanneman, CIO, Wealth Management, leveraging his 30-plus years of experience to guide investors towards their long-term goals. Every episode offers deep dives into investment strategies, enriching your financial journey. For a richer understanding and strategic investor insights, make The Weighing Machine your next listen. Expand your investment horizon with Rusty today. Orion Portfolio Solutions, LLC, an Orion company, is a registered investment advisor.